Luke 17, 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for this meeting where we've been in your word for just about 2 weeks. We thank you for Brother Victor and him coming and preaching to us. And we thank you for the word of God that's gone out, the souls that have been saved, those that have been touched, and hearts that have been turned around. We just thank you for all your blessings. And we thank you for a beautiful day, another day to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, another day to have another opportunity to serve you. I ask you, Lord, for freedom and ease to speak thy word that only the Holy Spirit of God can give. I ask you, Lord, to touch hearts and lives that are here. And anyone here without Jesus Christ, I pray they might be saved and every Christian might be made right. Anything needs to be made. Have your way in this service and the one that's to follow. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're going to have a revival meeting while we begin to prepare for it. We get somebody to come in and speak for us. We plan that ahead of time. We plan the dates. You make it, it's an important time, so you plan the dates and the times. We generally have about a week of prayer, if not a full week, at least Wednesday through Saturday. We pray and gather around because it's going to be a momentous day, a momentous occasion. So we prepare for some things in life that we think that are really important. Now, the city does the same thing. The state and the nation, they do the same thing. They prepare for big days. I think about a president's inauguration. You think of all the things that have got to be put together. The Pope's coming over here for a visit, and I want you to know there's millions of dollars going into nothing but preparation. In fact, there's FBI, CIA, Secret Service men investigating some of the members of this church. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to keep from, in this big event, some nut trying an assassination attempt or something like that. So all these big things, you know, anytime we know there's a big thing coming, we generally make preparation for it. But did you notice in this verse, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be the same way when Jesus comes again. Now, if you got any sense at all, if you believe the book, and I personally believe the book, then I'd say, I've got some knowledge here that I can work on. I've got something I can build on right here. I've got something to give me a little bit of instruction about my life. I look back and see what were they doing in the days of Noah. And that's what they're going to be doing when Jesus comes again. Isn't that what that verse said? I think it's pretty plain. Let's look over and see what they were doing in the days of Noah. They did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. You know, Noah had been preaching for 120 years. Amen. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. And by finding grace, God told him, I'll tell you how to save your family, Noah. Build an ark. Now, in the days where Noah lived, it never had rained upon the earth. The earth was like a giant terrarium with a tremendous atmosphere. And it dewed on the ground. But they didn't have any storms and rain in the same sense that you and I see it today. It's going to rain on the earth. There's going to be a flood on the earth like it's never been before. And Noah's going to build a boat on dry land. And really not a boat, just a barge. I can imagine all of the college professors in his day. The scientists. You think they weren't scientists in his day? I can imagine the Carl Sagans of Noah's day. The Einsteins of Noah's day. Great flood. Rain. So much so you're going to build a boat that big. Now, Noah, I can understand building you a little canoe out here, a sailboat, go fishing in. I might even understand a little houseboat that you might float on the lake down there, go down the river Euphrates in or whatever. You know, I can understand that. But Noah, do you see what you're building? Do you understand how foolish you look in the eyes of the world, Noah? Do you realize that all your neighbors are shunning you, Noah?
Did you know you're not invited to their parties anymore, Noah? Have you noticed how it's sort of like you got B.O.? They just start avoiding you. They don't want to be around you. Nobody wants to tell you, but Noah, you're looking very foolish.
Yes.
It said they just kept on drinking.
Amen.
Here's this preacher righteous that said, man, repent. Repent. God's going to bring judgment upon this land. God's already determined judgment upon this land. Only one way out, and that way is the ark. Only one way you can be saved, and that's to be in the ark. And they laughed at him. They said, hey, boys, let's go on down and have another beer. Let's go on down. Let's party. I mean, it's time to party. I bet you they had some real party animals in the day before Noah.
Yeah.
You think you got party animals today? Shoot, that hairy bunch of monsters back there. They had some parties. I want you to know they had some parties. You read about it in Genesis chapter 6. You're going to see some party people. They knew how to party. They ate and they drank, and boy, they were people making plans. You know, a marriage is not the end of something. It's the beginning of something. The people getting married, you know, if they'd have known that was the day, they'd have gotten married a whole lot earlier. They wouldn't have got married at all. You know, they'd either planned a little bit ahead of time and rushed into the thing so they could enjoy marriage for a while, or they wouldn't have got married at all. They'd been doing something else. I want you to know, they married wives the day. The day. Can you see the procession walking down? I mean, here's the bride in her beautiful dress. Here's the family of one side and the family of the other side. However they did it. I don't know what their procession was and what their custom was. But, boy, the big day. Marriage throughout all of history has been a big day. Always been a big day. And I'm not much on big things. You see, we do everything pretty plain around here. I dress pretty plain. And I like it that way, but there are a lot of people like the big ceremony and the show and the pomp. And God evidently does. You ever read about the marriage of the Lamb?
Amen.
It's going to be a big thing.
Amen.
I want you to know it's going to be a big thing. And I want you, that bride's going to be dressed in beautiful garments.
Amen.
And arrayed in jewels and gold. She's going to be something else. It's going to be a big thing. Well, I imagine those marriages back in those days, especially to anybody important, they were big things. But you know, it was the day that Noah entered into the ark. The day he entered into the ark. Well, I tell you what it said here. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. What a tragedy. What a sad day. You know, there have been some sad days. Probably in your life there have been some sad days. I just heard, must have been this last week, about a couple preparing for, it might have been 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure. Couple preparing for marriage. They were getting all ready to get married. And I think it was the night before why the future husband was killed in a wreck. And all this trauma and everything coming on. Here's this bride ready to be married. And all the plans, all the preparation, all the invitation, all the money's been spent in the anticipation of love and a life together. And it's gone. Well, they didn't believe the prophet. You know, God's had his witness in every generation. There hadn't been a time from the Garden of Eden on down when God hasn't had his witness. The problem with the people of the world, they haven't believed God's witness. You know what God always uses for a witness? Human beings. You ever thought about that? What did Noah look like to his generation? Like an idiot. A rich old fool spending all his money, taking every dime he's got and putting it in a great big boat on dry land. I can imagine some of them saying, how is he ever going to get it to water? Can't you imagine? How in the world is he ever going to get that thing down to where it'll ever float? God's always had his witness. And the problem with the world is they don't think the witness is worth listening to. What if an ugly little old Jew, scars all over it, been in jail after jail, came in telling you, Jesus Christ is the Lord. You'd say, who's this guy? He's a has-been professor, member of the Sanhedrin. He's a has-been Jew coming around trying to start something new. Everywhere he goes, he's in trouble. He's a troublemaker, a rabble-rouser. He's been in jail so many times, who in the world won't listen to him? Ah, but he was God's messenger. How about a fellow comes out of the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey? Sort of bushy. I mean, this is a woolly booger. If you ever saw a woolly booger, this one would be. God says the greatest prophet ever born of woman. Greatest prophet ever born on. I can see the fellows in the Sanhedrin coming down in their silk robes.
I mean, boy, they've had the experts make their phylacteries on there. They're looking good. These fellas look religious. And here's this woolly booger. I mean, you know, he's still got locust legs hanging out of his beard, maybe, you know. He said that he ain't preaching to them, you know. And they said, what in the world? This guy's got the message of God. Did you ever notice when God sought a messenger to replace Elijah, he didn't go to the school of the prophets? There was a school of the prophets over there being taught by good prophets. He didn't go to them. He went out to a fellow that was plowing with 12 yoke oxen and him having the 12th. By the way, they were his own oxen. In fact, the whole land might have been his. I'm not sure. Walked by and threw his mantle on him and he knew what was happening. Elijah said, hey, you just let me have a party and I'll go with you. He threw a party. He butchered his own oxen. He barbecued them right on top of his plow. And he said, I'm following you. And Elijah did his best to get rid of him.
Yeah.
He did all he could to discourage that boy.
Yeah.
He said, Elijah, you stay here. I'm going to go over and pray. He said, where you go, I'm going.
Yeah.
He said, I know you. I'm not letting you out of my sight. I'm going to stay with you. Now, probably one of those fellows of schools of the prophets, Elijah said, sit here. He said, yes, sir. He didn't go pick the fellow out of the school of the prophets. Did you know there were great universities, great learning, great teaching when Jesus came?
Yes. Amen.
Those fellows sitting on the Sanhedrin. Those fellows that were leaders of the Jews. Gamaliel. How about Nicodemus? These guys are learned in the law. Man, they understood their letters. They could write a better letter than you can. You think we're getting so much smarter? Have you read any Benjamin Franklin's letters or Thomas Jefferson's letters lately? You think we're getting smarter?
Amen.
We have to keep lowering the level of intelligence in the schools. In the college entrance, in order to get enough guys in college, they got to rewrite the books. Oh yeah, we're getting a lot smarter, aren't we? Quality is really up, right? I want to tell you, it's devolution, not evolution. It's going downhill, not uphill. Oh, there's more people with degrees, but less people that are smart. You understand about degrees, don't you? The more degrees you get, when you get a bachelor's degree, you have a broad knowledge of a lot of things. When you get a master's, you learn more and more about less. You pick and choose one thing, and you learn a whole lot about that one thing. When you get a PhD, it's piled higher and deeper. But truly, you learn everything you can about almost nothing. And that's supposed to make you brilliant, right? Oh, no, we're not getting that much smarter, that much better. You know what? The day that Noah entered into the ark, the flood came. When Jesus came and called his 12 apostles, he didn't go to the Sanhedrin. He didn't go to the University of Jerusalem. He didn't even pick any students of Gamaliel or Nicodemus. He went out and got him some common fishermen. And you know who had to give the message? You know who had to give the message of eternal life to the world? A great old big rough fisherman. You know the thing about fishermen? They're some mean tough dudes down on that wharf. I want you to understand. They don't go down there in Hart Schaffner and Mark suits and Stacy Adams shoes, you know, and go out there and work. They walk with knives. They got calloused hands. You ever seen fellows fight with machetes? The winner doesn't look too good. Much less the loser. You go down there in Central and South America, every kid this high is dragging a machete that's about as big as he is. What do they have when they get in the fight? They use that thing. They sure do. I grew up on the south side of this town, and I learned very young in life not to chase anybody that ran. Let them run. Had a good friend of mine, he was a pretty tough old boy, and we were at the old Kelly Drive-In Theater. And he'd been in a fight with some kid that was a member of a gang. He'd whipped him pretty bad. Had a little old bitty guy. I mean, this guy was small, but he was like greased lightning. He was fast. And he came in there, and we're all up at the front, goofing off, I won't say. And this one little boy, looked like a little boy, very small fella. He ran up to this tough fighter I knew and slapped him. Wham! And took off running. Well, he couldn't let all these people see some little kid slap him like that and not pay the kid back. He takes off after him. And this kid runs right out of the theater, runs around the block, and then runs down a dark alley, and he's right behind him. And he ran into about six of them. They put 150 stitches on him that night. They fixed him good. You know what?
Those old fishermen are pretty tough fellas. Hang around the wharf a little while. You find some tough fella. What God picked to bring his message? Common men. Common men. The world can't look at the man and say, that's why the message is so important, because look at this fine fella. No, no. You're not going to get anything but the message. You might not like the way Noah looked. You might not have liked the boat he was building. You might not like the message that he gave. You might have thought he was some kind of nut somewhere down the line. You might have said, this guy's an idiot. But I want you to know, he condemned the world because he believed the word of God and built the ark. There wasn't but one way to get out of that flood. Everything that lived by the breath of air didn't live in the sea. Died. Well, it said also, imagine you get married.
Here comes the water.
Oh, but I had plans to go to Holiday Inn. Sorry, Carpus is underwater. Yeah, well I was planning to head to Bernie. Well, you better go past Bernie, because Bernie's not high enough yet. Wasn't a very happy wedding. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. Here's another fellow, another disaster. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. Likewise. Now, if I know anything about English, that sort of connects what went before with what's coming. I know that's difficult for some of you, but that's what it says. As it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank. That's the same thing as doing Noah's time. They bought and sold. They planted and they built it. Danny, can you imagine that old farmer out there? He's been behind those two oxen. He's been plowing with that wooden plow, and he's finally got that field in. And here it begins to rain. And then he begins to see the flood come up and begin to wash it out. Just got it planted. There she goes. How about that fellow decided to buy? Taking everything that he's got. I'm finally going to buy. I've been waiting, trying to decide. You ever tried to buy something big, important? You know how you worry about things like that? Should I buy? Should I not buy? Should I see if I can't get him a little lower? I mean, should I try to get a better price? I mean, have I got the right price now? What do you think about what I'm doing? All that sweat. Didn't mean a thing. It didn't mean a thing. Well, you kept your money in the bank. Well, you went in debt. Whether you bought it. Whether you walked out on the land and possessed it. Didn't mean a thing. Why? Fire and brimstone going to come out of heaven. Fire and brimstone going to fall out of heaven. Did you know that archaeologists have found in the bottom of the Dead Sea cities? You want to know where Sodom and Gomorrah were? Go over and look at the deepest place on the face of the earth. When God started bringing fire and brimstone out of heaven, he created a dead lake. And the bottom of it's where they are. Well, but it was a pretty prosperous place. I want you to know, if you wanted to go uptown, you went to Sodom. You want to go where the rich people go. You want to go where the beautiful people were. You want to go where the inset was. Head down to Sodom. Sodom's the place to be. I mean, they're not controlled by these old-fashioned conventions. I mean, they have free love down there. Queer city, Sodom. It says they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Here's one reason why I believe that when Jesus comes, the church is not going through the tribulation. I don't believe the sorriest Christian is going to go through the tribulation.
Amen.
I don't believe the weakest part of the body of Christ is going to go through the tribulation.
Amen.
I believe God's going to pull them all out before he drops the fire, before the trouble falls. Now let's look back and take a look at this story about Sodom. Look back in Genesis chapter 18. In verse 16, there have been some men, actually the Lord God and a couple of angels have been down visiting a fellow by the name of Abraham. In verse 16, the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children, his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham is a great prayer intercessor. You can read about his prayer right there. I'm not going to read it this morning. I just want to introduce Sodom to you here. A short while before, Abraham had a nephew that he loved like he loved a son. Where Abraham went, if that fellow by the name of Lot wanted to go with him, he was welcome. And Lot had followed him, and you know, by being close to Abraham, Lot had gotten quite rich. Abraham's not a poor man. It's not bad to have riches, although riches can be a real curse, and most of us couldn't handle them, and we're probably better off without them, and you better hope God doesn't answer your prayers. That's the truth. In spite of how hard it seems to pay the bills right down and keep on going, you're probably better off poor and working. I could just name you several of my friends that used to not have very much, and they were a whole lot better off than they are now, that they got a whole lot. That's the honest truth. Old Lot got a lot of money. And you know, Abraham, like a lot of spiritual men, are sort of dull to the world. They're not really that interesting. They love God. They love His book. Have you ever had people say, well, man, why do you go to church all the time? Don't you realize there's other things to do in life? I mean, you guys are going all the time. Every day and every night. You're over there at that place all the time. I've had people say to the guys that were building and working on this thing we've done, what are you putting all your time in over there for? Man, they're here because they want to be. Amen. I'm here because I want to be. Yeah. You don't pay me enough money to bring me here. Do you know that?
That's right.
Amen. You say I pay you more than you're worth. That's probably not even true either. But the truth of the matter is, I'm here because I want to be.
Amen.
I've been doing the same thing 30 years. Yeah. 30 years I've been doing this. And bless your heart, I've been some places where I pastored. I gave more money to the church than they paid me. My gasoline bill was more than my tithe and their offering to me together. That's the honest truth. I used to put 100,000 miles. I've driven nearly 2 million miles in my life. Flown a few more. You know something? I'm here because I want to be. You know why Abraham was out in the desert? Because he wanted to be. He went out in that desert because he was really feeling sorry for himself. He couldn't be down at the bright lights in Sodom. Oh, Sodom was a green, well-watered, beautiful plain. I want you to know, when a fellow moved in there and bought that land, I mean, he had like an irrigated farm. I mean, the cows were going to grow and get fat, and the sheep were going to put on the wool. And I mean, he was going to be somebody. And old Lot got to looking around, and he and Abraham got so big, they just had so much, they couldn't keep walking together. Best thing old Lot could have done was said, Abraham, I just give it all to you. I just want to stay with you.
Amen.
He didn't have that much sense. Lot's a saved man. You're going to meet Lot in heaven. Lot's a saved man. Bible says so. If you looked at him from the Old Testament, you wouldn't believe it. If I didn't get it from Peter to tell me that Lot was a just man, I'd have a hard time believing it. That's the way with some of you. If I didn't have some testimony of the Word of God, I wouldn't believe it. But the honest truth is, old Lot took a look and he went down and said, man, if I want my daughters to get good husbands, good husbands. Some of you girls, what are you looking for? One of those Philistine men? One of those Sodomites? Some of you boys, what are you looking for? Like Samson, you don't like those little gals around home, or you want you a Philistine gal? She looks fancier, more like the world, a lot more fun. Tell you what, you might be making the wrong choice, Lot. Oh, but I want it from a family. And you know, I've got so much riches, I can't turn loose from my riches. I've got to hang on to what I got. Be a foolish man to give up what he had, wouldn't it? So Lot moves down and he moves into Sodom. And I want you to know, Lot is an up-and-coming fella. Because it isn't long he's sitting in the gate as the chief judge of Sodom. Here's the mayor of the town. Here's the most important fellow. Everybody knows his name. Here's a righteous man that makes judgment between one another. But his Bible says he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And that's not just what came out of the mouth. That's the way they lived. His righteous soul was vexed. But you know, he sort of put that down and said, I got to keep my position. I got to keep things going right. You know, I got to be successful. No, you don't have to be successful. That's a lie of America.
Amen.
You don't have to be successful. You might be a whole lot better off if you're a failure in this life.
Amen.
That's right.
You just might be a whole lot better off. You don't have to be successful. Lot makes it to the gate, and Lot gets his daughters married to some fine, intelligent fellows. Well, look at the next chapter there. Chapter 19, verse 12. And the men, here the angels, they've come into Sodom, and they found the house of Lot.
The men said unto Lot, "How stand here besides? Son-in-law, sons, daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place." Now I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice the absolute wonderful privilege of being connected to Lot's family. Amen. Angels from heaven gave him an invitation to leave. You got anybody, Lot? Just because of you, Lot. Have you got anybody here? Sons, daughters, son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws. Have you got any connection here, Lot? We'll let you get yours out. Verse 13, "For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." You may serve a Santa Claus God, but he's not the God of the Bible. You may think there's no heaven or hell, or you may think there is a heaven, but there's no hell, but he's not the God of the Bible. When you read this book, my friend, from the beginning of it to the end of it, we have a God that judges and hates sin. Sin must be paid for. If Jesus doesn't pay for your sins, you'll pay for it yourself. If you pay for it yourself, you'll spend an eternity and never get it paid for. I'm sorry, purgatory is right here. It's the priest's pocketbook. There's no such place. It's not in the Bible. It's not anywhere. It's heaven or hell, and both of them are permanent positions. Permanent places. He said, "The Lord has sent us to destroy it," and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. Now, I don't know what time those guys got there, these two angels. But they came to Lot's house, and probably in the dead of night, let's say it's midnight, and old Lot comes out to his oldest daughter's house. He starts right down the line, and he knocks. Yeah, what is it? What is it? You know we were asleep tonight? Yeah, but listen, kids. A couple of angels came from heaven and told me they're going to carry me out. And anybody I can take with me can go. Oh man, you've been drinking. You've been on drugs. You're hallucinating. A couple of angels from heaven. And why would they come to you? Who are you anyway?
Yeah.
I know you claim to worship this one God, but look at you. You're the judge of the city. Well, look at you. Your best friend's the chief sodomite in town. Hey, look, we live with your daughters all this time and your grandbabies. Well, you don't have any testimony. You think I'd believe you? Go on back home, sleep it off, old man. Go on back. Don't bother us. We're going to go to bed tonight. I sure don't want to get up with the ravings of some lunatic in the middle of the night. And he said they mocked him. They mocked him. You know what Lot was? Lot was a messenger from heaven. You know what Lot was? Lot was a messenger of salvation. You know what Lot was? Lot was their last hope. And you know what they thought he was? A crazy old man. A stupid old man. An old man without a testimony. Oh, then all they could see was, here's a man without a testimony. All they could see was, I don't believe much of your religion because of the way you live. All they could see was, you're a pretty good old man, but man, that's as far as it goes. And I can see the heavy heart. I can see the tears in his eyes. He stumbles back to his house. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. He's been out knocking doors. He's been out pleading. He's been out saying, oh, please, listen to me. If you ever listen to me in all your life, listen to me tonight. When the sun comes over that mountain over there, when the sun comes over that horizon, God's going to destroy this place and everybody in it. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. One went back to bed and thought about the field he was going to buy. One went back to bed and thought about the party he was going to give. One went back to bed and thought what he was going to do with his children and how his life was going to turn out. And one went back to bed and thought, I want to take Lot's place one day as mayor of the city. One went back to bed and said, sure sorry for the old man, but I'm not going to waste my time listening to the ravings of an idiot. Lot goes back home. He's discouraged. He's down. Verse 15, when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, listen to this man. Here's a man. He's lost everything. Everything he had, he put into Sodom. Hard for a man to walk away from possessions. It's harder for a man to walk away from kids, maybe grandkids. Hard to walk out of that city and leave your possessions. Oh, it'd have been a lot better to give them to Abraham. So I'll just hang by you, brother. I know God blesses you. I'm not going to leave you no matter what. I'm going to hang by you no matter what. But he didn't. He lingered. The men laid hold upon his hand. Is that the way God's going to have to take you out? My Christian friends so caught up in this world. My Christian friends are caught up in your job. My Christian friends are caught up in your plans for the future. My Christian friend, is God going to have to drag you out by the hand? And upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. That phrase has caught my mind so many times, my brother. I've preached on it before. Escape for thy life. Escape for thy life. What have you got that's valuable? Oh, if I had you make me a list for the IRS, you'd make it light. But if I had you to make me a list for the blessings of God, it could be quite heavy. Long list. Long list of blessings. But you know, what about your life? Radio station worth your life? Not really. Building like this worth your life? Not really. Position in the school system worth your life? No. A little plot of ground out somewhere that's really valuable and rich, going to make you a lot of money someday? That fancy house you want to build, you got the pictures and the plans already? All the money you spent on guns you got hanging on the closets and whatever? Those new sets of golf clubs that you can't play any better with? Escape for thy life. Escape for thy life. You know what you best do? You best wake up. You best wake up and see, my friend, God's given you life. The most valuable gift he ever gave you was life. And the gift he wants to give you is eternal life. Amen. And you better escape for your life so you can have eternal life. You better see what's important. Escape for thy life. I know Lot's still out there crying. And his wife, she couldn't quite make it. Lot got out with the clothes on his back and two corrupted daughters. Because he went down and played with Sodom. You know what they were going to do that morning? Same thing they were going to do every morning. But this morning they were mistaken.
Yeah.
It was the wrong morning. It was the wrong morning not to listen to an average man that didn't look like much. It was the wrong morning to ignore the testimony of a backslidden Christian. Wrong morning to ignore your father-in-law. I know you can ignore him lots of times and be better off. Huh? This was the wrong morning to ignore the father-in-law. We talk about the mother-in-laws all the time. I guess the father-in-law's about as bad, huh?
Amen.
Watch out who says amen. He said, escape for thy life. Let's read about Lot a little more. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now let me ask you, is that true?
Yes.
If God spared not the angels that sinned, and according to this book, he didn't spare them. What I understand about this book, when Satan himself, the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God, whose tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, I believe that's the angels that he took, about a third of the angels of heaven rose in rebellion with Satan against the Lord God Almighty. What'd God do to them? He cast them out. They lost their position. Those angels are now devils. They don't believe in devils. You don't believe the book. If God spared not the angels that sinned, how about those angels back over there? I personally believe it's angels in the sixth chapter of Genesis. Taking them on them human flesh. Cohabiting with women, beautiful women. Fulfilling the desires of lust. Oh yeah, if God spared not the angels, hey man, the Bible says God made man a little lower than the angels. I saw a picture of one angel in the Bible. He put one foot on the sea and one foot on the dry land. Can you do that? Walk down the ocean, I want you to try that. You walk down the ocean, I want you to try that. You put one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. No, when the wave comes in, you got both feet in the ocean. And when the wave goes out, you got both feet on the land. Ever notice that? That's a pretty big angel. Did you notice how big that angel was? The Bible said he had a sun for his head and a huge sword. And he stands with one foot on the sea and the other foot on land. It's a big, mighty angel, the book of Revelation tells you. I read about one angel in the Old Testament. God sent his angel to help. He didn't send a whole herd of angels. He didn't send five angels. He sent one angel. He slew 185,000 soldiers in one night. The Bible describes it like this. They all woke up dead men. One angel. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary. Could have called 12 legions. 72,000 angels he could have called. Why'd those hands stay on that cross? Why'd those feet stay on that cross? Why did he let them do to him what they did? The love of God. Nothing else, my friend. The love of God. God spared not the angels. Point. Second point. Verse 5. And spared not the old world. Wait a minute. God didn't spare the old world. We just got through reading about it. What did he do to them? He let the flood of water come and let them climb to the highest hill. It covered Everest. It covered Ararat. Covered the greatest mountains in all the world. I believe there were tremendous upheavals in this whole earth. I believe some of the things that we see changed today were changed in that flood that took place then. Confuses a whole lot of scientists that don't believe the book. I want you to understand something, friend. There's some cities right now under the ocean. They've actually found cities under the Mediterranean Sea. There's cities under the Dead Sea. I want you to know it was a big thing. It was one big thing. There's a tremendous upheaval. God didn't spare but eight people. All eight of them had to be in the ark. Nobody lived outside that ark.
Amen.
Some of them tell you you've got to be water baptized to be saved. I tell you that's not true. Everybody that got in the water died. You got to get in the ark. The ark's Jesus Christ. Everybody in the water died. It says, if God spared not the angels that sinned, and spared not the old world that sinned, what makes you think he'll spare you? You ever thought about it? You think, I can just ignore this. God's going to be a merciful God. God's going to leave me out. Hey, he didn't spare the angels. He didn't spare that whole world. What makes you think he'll spare you when judgment time comes? You better run to Jesus Christ with every bit of the strength that you've got. You better seek him with all that you've got. You better run to Jesus when somebody preaches the gospel. I don't like that preacher. Who cares? I like Jesus. I met a lot of preachers I don't like. I met more of them than you have. Sure. I met preachers I don't like. What I want to know is, do they preach salvation by grace in Jesus Christ? They preach salvation that's all on the merits of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to know. He said, well, I like this name. Well, I like the name of Jesus. He said, I don't like that. And I like, who cares? Who cares? I don't care if it's a common old fisherman that knows how to use a knife better than you'll ever know how to use a knife. I don't care if it's a plowboy out there that burns his plow and brings a message later on down the line. I don't care if it's an old crazy man out there. He's building a big boat on dry land. You better listen to the message of God.
Amen.
I don't care if it's some Christian so backslidden that their testimony has been shot, it's been ruined, it's been dropped in the dirt, the devil's taken them and rubbed their nose in the ground, everything about them's lost. You better listen. It's the message, not the messenger. Oh, it's important that the right messenger have the right testimony. I'm not telling you go out and have any kind of testimony you want. I believe you ought to have a good testimony. You might stand a better chance of a few more people listening to you. But I want you to know the last chance Sodom had was a backslider's testimony. They didn't get a chance to see that he'd repented either. They didn't get a chance to see he sought God and wanted God. They didn't get a chance to see. They never got a chance. They heard his message. That was the last message they got. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example up unto those that should after live ungodly. You know why I know Lot saved? It's the next verse. And delivered just Lot. Oh. You mean to say the mayor of Sodom was just? You mean to tell me the judge of Sodom was just? You mean to tell me a man that could lose everything that he lost was just? Yes, sir. I mean to tell you that. It says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Outwardly, old Lot was the mayor of the town. Outwardly, he let his daughters marry them. Outwardly, he lived in the city and compromised as best he could. But down in his heart, there was pain day by day because of the wicked. That gives me some hope for some people I know. That verse right there gives me some hope for some people I know. I see some people have made profession of faith, look like they love God, and yet I can't see it. Just can't see it. I say, man, you don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't go to church. You don't do anything. Where is your testimony of being a Christian? Where in the world can you show me you even say, all I get is a few words out of your mouth. I don't see anything. Some of them are real. Some of them are real. In spite of what we see. Amen. Some of them are real. But I wonder if Lot would have walked with God, could he have won his son-in-laws? I wonder if Lot had moved out of Sodom. I wonder if Lot had to preach righteousness in Sodom. I wonder if Lot had refused the judgeship or the mayorship. I wonder if Lot had made a few different decisions in his life. Could he have saved those daughters? Christian friend, your testimony does make a difference. It does make a difference. Escape for thy life. Well, I give you some advice today, and I'm not near finished with what I had in mind. But it happens that way sometimes, especially to me. I want you to see my notes. I'm about half through. Do you know what I'd like to tell you? Escape for your life. Escape for your soul. Run to Jesus as fast as you can run to Him. Get on your knees at the foot of the cross of Calvary and plead mercy at the throne of God. Don't you put it off another day. You might not have another day. Oh, you say, well, I'm getting married next week. I'm building a house. We're going to build us a two-story house over here on 5 acres. Praise God. Boy, we're going to build us a mansion. We're working on it hard. We're saving hard. Oh, my friend. A lot of people had plans in the day of Noah. A lot of people had plans in Sodom and Gomorrah and the five cities overthrown. Their plans went up in ashes. Their plans were flooded underwater. I want you to understand something. The ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. The ark Noah built is a picture of Jesus Christ. That great, huge ark. Everybody in Jesus passes through the storm. Everybody in Jesus lives. Everybody in Jesus has life. Everybody in Jesus is protected from the judgment hand of God. Everybody in Jesus will make it through the judgment out to the other side. Everybody in Jesus. I just want to ask you a question this morning. Are you in Jesus Christ? If you're not, escape for your life. Because I want to warn you, just as it was in the days of Noah, just as it was in the days of Lot, it'll be the same in the coming of the Son of Man. As I don't like you, you're fat and you're ugly and you're loud and you're all this other, doesn't much matter, does it? You know what matters? The message. Do you believe the message? I don't like you either, but that doesn't make any difference, does it? I think you're pretty ugly too. You looked in the mirror lately? I mean, you know. I've seen homemade soap look better made than you. Truth is, man, it's the message. It's the message. You take the book. Check me out on the book. Do I preach the book? That's all you need to know. I don't care if you like my personality. If you don't like it, there's 1,000 churches in this town. Hit the door. It don't make any difference. But the book, man, it's the book.
Amen.
If you got the message, get in the ark. Escape for your life while you have opportunity. Get in the ark. Come to Jesus Christ. Let Him be your ark of safety. Let Jesus be the one that takes your judgment. Jesus, on the cross of Calvary, had the judgment hand of God for sin fall on Him. And though He could have called 72,000 angels, and you know, He didn't even need to. This is the Creator of the world. He could have spoken and said, blast them out into non-existence. And the whole world would have disappeared and He'd have been hanging out in space on nothing without a scar on Him. That's who was there. He stayed there to give you an escape. He stayed there. He died that you might live. He took your punishment that you might receive His righteousness. He took your sin that you might be made like unto Him. Escape for your life.
It's the best message you'll ever get.
Yes.
The best bargain ever be presented to you.
Amen.
The best deal in all your life you'll ever hear about. And that's that God loves you and died to pay your debt.
Amen.
I plead with you today, come to Jesus Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed.